Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Welcome back to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com and by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production here with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. Always a pleasure that you've taken the time to stop by and spend a little time with us today. We've got Patrick Meyer coming up here momentarily. And he's talking about Content Express. And a little bit later on in the hour, Net Promoter, words to the wise from our customer experience person, Gene Bliss, here at theadvertisingshow.com. And a very special guest out of Minnesota, where we understand it's still winter, but that's all right. His name is Joe Pine. No, not Joe Pine. This is Joe Pine, B. Joseph Pine II. An internationally acclaimed author, speaker, and management advisor to Fortune 500 companies, entrepreneurial startups alike. He is also co-founder of Strategic Horizons LLP, which is a thinking studio dedicated to helping businesses conceive and design new ways of adding value to their economic offerings. And he's also, he and his partner, James Gilmore, recently wrote Authenticity, What Consumers Really Want. And so we'll get a chance to find out a little bit more about Joe and what he's up to and how deep the snow is in Minnesota, right? Is that what you said, Brian?
And I got to tell you, it's a great book, Gray. As you mentioned, the title, Authenticity, it's been receiving some decent publicity lately. It's out of published by Harvard Business Press, our friends there. And it's a great read, I got to tell you. And as we always say, we don't have authors. We get plenty of books both solicited and unsolicited here at the show, but we don't have authors on unless they hit a home run with their book, and it's a great read. By the way, speaking of guests, you remember Nick Groff, Spot Runner CEO that we had on the show,
six months ago,
I guess. Yeah. Well, apparently Spot Runner looks to begin international expansion with a full war chest coming up here with a $51 million funding round that they just recently closed, Ray. The Los Angeles-based company and tapped the strategic investors for its third round of funding, bringing on Daily Mail, General Trust in the UK and Europe, as well as Grupo Televisa in Mexico. So they're taking their U.S. based business, which is, as I recall, it's a cable, television creative online company where you can tap into their creative, library, and you can get spots created for your local cable effort across America. Well, they're looking at expanding that and going worldwide with it, which I think's, why not, right? It's a great idea and works in the U.S.
There's a good product out there as well. They do a great job at that.
They really do.
One that they didn't produce was the new Harley Davidson campaign. Screw it, let's ride. Of course, you probably have to say it a little bit different than that. You know what I'm saying? Screw it, let's ride. Motorcycle maker's bold new U.S. campaign carries an in-your-face theme. I would say that a tough-talking copy, fear sucks. It came from the company's customers, by the way. Well, that's where it should come from. That's Mark Hans Richter, who last summer became Harley Davidson's first CMO after leaving GM. The print and online ads from, Carmichael Lynch, Minneapolis, are the result of road research gathered by the marketer and staffers by interacting with customers at rallies, races, and rides. We started hearing it a few months ago from owners who don't fret about the economy or financial doom and gloom in the press. We wanted to reflect that mindset. So it's basically fear sucks and says, screw it, let's ride. So that's what's coming your way from Harley Davidson, and if you connect with those types of words and that kind of attitude, then you probably ought to go buy one. Okay,
right.
Not a bad idea. Here's somebody that probably has the same philosophy. He says it a different way. His name is Patrick Meyer on the Advertising Show.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer. Today I'm going to talk to you about a thing that I call Content Express. We were presenting to one of our top clients a roadmap on how to take technology and combine it with marketing to drive their business forward. So all the new things that are emerging over the next 2-3 years and where it's going, and to identify those corridors that they tap into to drive their marketing forward. The advertising manager then said, "There's no way that Madison Avenue can do this. It takes us 2 months to get a commercial done. How can we create content to go out on the cell phones and video on demand and stuff that's done that's fresh and topical, done over a weekend?" My response was, "You need to understand, Madison Avenue and the big agencies are definitely not in position to deal with the need that I call Content Express. Let me tell you what the future holds. A group of people on max, 2 or 3 people, with a template that's tied into what the brand is all about, taking content, video content, audio content, and manipulating it overnight and pumping it out through pipes or channels on cell phones, video on demand, through retail and other conduits. That is what's coming. That's what I call Content Express. That might be 2 to 3 people, one client dealing with a preset format that's strategic and grounded, but it's instant, fresh, topical content. So my friends, my message to you is ask your agencies, how do we create Content Express? And if they can't get there, there are emerging boutiques, film schools, and many people that you could bring in-house to get this done. So try it. Content Express, it's coming quick.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
I'm Patrick Meyer, and remember, the marketing revolution is now.
So, for Patrick Meyer, it's our Marketing Insider, Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Joe Pine is our special guest here. Go ahead, Brad.
I was just going to mention, you read that Harley-Davidson story so well, and you make a living, among other things, doing voice work. Were you auditioning for those spots there, the way you were doing that?
If you want to consider that an audition, I'll do that. That's fine.
Well, not I was going forward for an MP3.
That, it's funny. We actually did some Harley-Davidson spots, and it did kind of have that that attitude kind of stuff as well. So,
yeah,
authenticity, what consumers really want, is Joe Pine's latest book, and basically we're going to find out more about that. Joe has hit the big time today, though. You know, Joe has been in places like Forbes, on the New York Times, Wired Business 2.0, USA Today, Investors Business Daily, ABC News, Good Morning America. I'm sure you've heard of those shows. Fortune Business Week, and now The Advertising Show. He's forgotten to put that in his bio, but we'll remind him of that, okay?
Well, you know, you mentioned all of those places he's been. Most of those are print, except for the ABC Good Morning America. And, of course, that's recorded. This is all live and no rehearsal and no just basically tightrope without the net. So we'll see how he does here.
Yeah, kind of like the old Dean Martin show. Except we have no alcohol in the studio, which is a good thing, I guess.
What's that in your drink over there?
It's called H2O, and and it's filtered H2O, which is nice. So that's good. We've got, about 30 seconds here. Let's talk about the Advertising Show, theadvertisingshow.com. If you're here, you obviously have been around the site and seen all of the different things. We've been doing this since 01. It's back 01, back the turn of the century, and a lot of great stuff. Yeah, we haven't aged at all, have we, Brad?
Not me.
Check out more of theadvertisingshow.com. You are welcome anytime, and most importantly, tell a friend. Back in just a minute.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
These are the three largest selling soft drinks. Now, let's have a look and see what makes them so popular. As you can see, this one is a cola.
Back with you here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, and a very special guest out of Minneapolis, it's Joe Pyne, co-author of Authenticity, What Consumers Really Want. AuthenticityBook.com, by the way, is the website, and we will repeat that information for you as we get into the interview. Got some time to spend with Joe. Hey, Joe, it is great to have you here on The Advertising Show. Welcome.
Thanks, Ray. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and you know, before we get into talking about your book, let's give our listeners a little background on Strategic Horizons, your co-authors.
Yeah, we'll get that right. See, it's right there on your label, on your
go to our website,
name tag.
Pull that up. Yeah, anyway, your company, Strategic Horizons, is called, as Ray mentioned in your bio, a thinking studio. So, as opposed to a non-thinking studio, what exactly do you mean by that, Joe?
Well, what we mean by it is that we're not a traditional consultancy that is going to do projects with you. Rather, what we really do is help companies and help executives in companies see the world differently. We try and figure out what is going on, not as a futurist. You know, we're not futurists. We don't tell you what's going to happen. We tell you what already is happening, but that perhaps you don't quite see in the right manner. So we give you a lens to look through, and then you can see the world differently and see what that means for your business.
So you get a free telescope with your service, is that
absolutely
right?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
You know, we reach client-side CMO and C-level executives as well as the advertising community. I know there's plenty of marketers out there that have had their share of consultants throughout their careers. And I'm curious, your company professes to take the best and reject the worst of consulting firms and think tanks and other type organizations. I'm curious, Joe, tell us, what are some of the worst things you rejected when it comes to consulting firms?
Well, basically going into a company and sucking out all their information and telling them what they should do. We think the people inside of a company know their business better than we could ever hope to know it. And so what we want to do is give you frameworks through which you can see what is happening and then be able to figure out for yourselves what that means for you, what the impact is, and what, therefore, you should do about it in your context that, again, you know better than anybody else.
Well, it sounds kind of like a psychotherapy where the shrink won't tell you your problems. You're supposed to figure that out for yourself through dialogue and so forth. Is that accurate?
Sure. When we go into companies, one of our favorite things to ask is, well, what do you think?
I think that's a wise a wise approach, and truly, I can appreciate the fact that consultants look like they come in with both guns blazing and think that they have to point out what all the problems are to their clients, or they're not providing them with their proper services. And hats off to you for and your colleagues for taking a different approach there. Let's talk a little bit about your book, Joe. What was your motivation in writing Authenticity?
Well, it actually came out of the work that we did on our previous book, The Experience Economy, which basically said that as goods and services everywhere become commoditized, that we're shifting into an economy based off experiences, where what people were looking for were experiences that engaged them in an inherently personal way. So you saw companies and industries the world over that were going beyond basic goods and services to staging experiences for their customers. And it turns out, we didn't realize this when we wrote that book, but it turns out that whenever experiences come to the fore, that issues of authenticity follow closely behind. They're just naturally intertwined. I mean, look at the world's premier experience stager. Some people, although I always say experiences have always been around, some people like to date it to July 17th of 1955, which is, when
Disney.
Exactly. Disneyland opened. Demarcation point. Well, ever since Disneyland opened, it's been a lightning rod for cultural critics and sociologists to look at for authenticity. That, you know, they say, what does this mean when we pay this company to create this ersatz Main Street USA environment that has never really been there, as well as these fantasy environments like Cinderella's castle and Mickey Mouse's kingdom and so forth that are pure fantasy, and that we enjoy it so much. And then
I'm wondering if I could just stay with Disney for a second. I'm wondering if I recall many years ago that they referred to that, although today, of course, it's all about engaging the consumer. But back when Disney launched Disneyland, it was a lot about escapism, yet they did a great job in extending that brand and growing that brand. How did we go from looking at that as escapism to really engaging today's consumer?
Well, in fact, escapism is just one form of engagement. In fact, there are four different realms of the experience you think about. You can have an entertainment experience where you passively absorb in the sights and sounds presented to you, like a TV show or a movie that you go to, a concert, a play. You can have an educational experience whereby you become active in that and learn, therefore. You can have an aesthetic experience where you're passively immersed in an environment, like going to a national park or sitting in a Starbucks. Or you can have an escapist experience where you're actively engaged in that, going from one place to another.
And so that's interesting. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, you say so you can think about how any experience can engage people in each of those four realms, and even the best ones have elements of all four of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Well, I was just getting ready to say, when you identify Starbucks as passive, I think they've kind of transitioned out of what they originally started as a passive environment and have really come to engage the consumer, I think, a lot more as they broaden their product offerings to music and other things.
Right, and then Starbucks is another company you can point to squarely in authenticity. I mean, they created the coffee drinking experience.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
and I don't think any company explicitly manages the perception of authenticity amongst their consumers than Starbucks does. And the total success of Starbucks in the future is not going to be based on the quality of the product or on the delivery of the service, the quality of the service. It is going to be on the authenticity of the experience.
It's Joe Pine here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. The book is called Authenticity, What Consumers Really Want. Isn't that what we're all really looking for here in the advertising business? We'll be back with more with Ray Shillins, Brad Forsyth, and Joe Pine in just a moment. Stay with us.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Stronger than dirt.
If you just happened by The Advertising Show by mistake, today is your lucky day here. We've got co-author Joe Pine, author of Authenticity, What Consumers Really Want, along with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. Joe, it is great to have you here.
Thank you.
You know, as we cover a lot of topics in your book, and again, great read, Authenticity, recommended to all of our listeners. Check it out. I'm sure Amazon.com is a great place to start. You know, I guess I hear a lot of people out there in their mind hearing us talk about this, Joe, and probably wondering, so how does authenticity really relate to today's consumer? How can a company like ours best leverage this understanding that you're professing?
Well, the key is that what companies must do is render authenticity. That's the key verb, which is managing that customer perception of authenticity so that you get your customers to perceive your offerings and, by extension, the places in which they're offering and the company that offers them as real. Because increasingly, consumers don't want the fake from the phony. They want the real from the genuine.
Yeah.
And you identify various categories. And since we're talking a little bit about the practical aspects in your book, you talk about the four steps to a more authentic you. And you go through step one, assess your current status, and on from there. Why don't we take those four steps and talk about each one, Joe?
Well, it is. There are. The book actually has a whole litany of things that you need to do, and looks at it from a number of different angles. But the one is step one that we talk about is assess your current state. Is we describe four different modes of authenticity, if you will, which is simply real, fake, real fake, or fake real. And you need to understand where you lie in that. The basic way you determine it is by understanding the two key standards of authenticity, which is one, being true to self, and two, being what you say you are to others. Being true to self is a self-directed task of understanding your own heritage and who you are as a company, and does the offerings that you come out with, do they match who you are? And being what you say you are is about the representational, particularly the marketing aspects. It's what you say about yourself. So depending on whether you're both of those or one of those or none of those, puts you in those four different states. Then you need to understand that maybe where you belong is where you should be. In other words, we talked about Disney. Well, Disney, in my mind, is fake real, meaning it's not what it says it is. It's not really the Magic Kingdom. It's if they sprinkle pixie dust on you, you're not really going to fly. But it is wonderfully true to self, flowing from the heritage of the man Walt Disney.
Sure.
So it's a fake reality, if you will. Well, Disney is so much a fake reality, it should always be a fake reality. It should never even try to be real, because it can't ever achieve that. And being real is exceedingly difficult. Then the third step we talk about is that you need to overcome the fake. You need to decide, right, where are you most fake? And work around that to turn that around to being more true to self or more what you say you are. And then step four is signify the real, which is find those places where you can most signal to people your own personal unique realness.
Right. I think people can relate to number four, but how do you zero in on overcoming the fake? I mean, are companies sometime a bit blind about this and think what's real is real, and it's really coming into the fake category, according to you?
Oh, absolutely. Because we can so delude ourselves inside of companies,
sure,
it applies to almost anything about how our consumers view it. We measure all these customer satisfaction numbers, and we see how high they are, but we don't realize that's often because we've changed customers' expectations not to really expect a lot from us.
Mm-hmm.
So you really need to closely examine. In fact, we've got one whole chapter that describes 10 different elements, ranging from what you name your offerings to how you display them, from the essence of your enterprise to your body of values to the heritage of the company. And so it gives a finite list that you should truly examine yourself and what you say about yourself, so your identity and your representation of that identity, to determine where you are fake today and what, therefore, you should do about it.
Hmm. Yeah. I really enjoyed your book, I must say, and I want to see if I can work through this particular issue, which was the one troubling area that I had, and hopefully you can straighten me out. You're quoted as saying it's possible to come away with two completely different views of whether a company is authentic or not because authenticity is personally
determined.
And I'm curious, if this is so, Joe, then it would seem to me that it would be difficult, if not impossible, to manage consumer perceptions of whether a company was authentic or not. So my question, I guess, is how can you know if you're managing consumers' perceptions and giving them an authentic experience when it's all perception?
Let's hold on to that answer, though, okay?
And I can't set that up next segment. You're just going to have to remember what
That's
I just
right.
said.
You got it. And there's more of The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe coming your way in just a moment. You'll get the answer. You will. It'll be about 60 seconds away.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com.
How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speed.
So much to talk about and answers to questions asked in that last segment. Well, we've got them for you here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Welcome back, Joe.
Thank you.
Just briefly, just for our listeners. So if it's a perception, how do you manage it? How can you get into the head of the consumer? You see what I'm saying, I think.
Yep. Well, and in direct answer, it is difficult, but not impossible, because authenticity truly is personally determined. We are the sole arbiter of what is authentic for us, regardless of what anybody else may think. I mean, two people can go have the same experience and come away with two diametrically opposed views. I mean, think about the Starbucks-loving latte drinkers out there that go there every day, and then at the same time you've got people with bumper stickers on their cars that say, friends, don't let friends drink at Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
So you are managing perception. You're reaching inside of that person, and of each person, and it does make it extremely difficult, but there are a number of tools and a number of techniques that you can go about in thinking about doing it, particularly the five genres of authenticity that we cite in the book. And even that is only beginning, because what we're talking about here is an entirely new management discipline. You can think back 100 years ago to when Henry Ford invented the system of mass production and controlling cost became a new management discipline. Well, it took decades to figure all that out and to infuse it throughout industries. In the same way, in the 70s and 80s, quality became the number one consumer sensibility, what consumers were looking for. And it took us, again, decades to figure out how to improve quality in a systematic way. In the same way, it's going to take decades to figure out how to render authenticity in a way that you will be able to get most of the people, most of the time, to consider you authentic.
Yeah, and that triggers a lot of thoughts, but I want to shift gears and help our advertising brethren out there for a quote that you've said in some material that I was reading. You're quoted as saying, companies should substitute placemaking for advertising as a better way of generating demand. And before we talk about you suggesting a wholesale trade-off of ad dollars out and placemaking in, maybe we need to start by defining placemaking.
Well, let me step up in one more point, which is to understand that to the litany of advertising woes today that you know far better than I, you can add another one, which is that advertising is a phoniness-generating machine, as practiced by most companies, because we can't help but exaggerate what is the actual case in our advertising. And when people actually encounter the product, the disconnect between what you say about it in an ad and what they actually encounter gets them to perceive it as phony. So what placemaking says is, instead, let's bring those together as one and the same thing. Let's have people encounter our offerings in places that we create and control and manage to give the particular experience so that use it as the demand generation mechanism. I'm thinking about places like ING Direct Cafes, where you can encounter ING's savings accounts and so forth over a cup of coffee. An American Girl place where you can go in and pay a mission fee for these wonderful experiences that expose you to the dolls. To an Apple store where you can go in and interact with all of the actual technology that they have inside of there.
Sure.
Each of those are places where people can experience who the company is, what the offerings are, and generate demand for them all at the same time. That's placemaking.
So, yeah, and so you say advertising should be substituted. You say placemaking should be substituted for advertising. Are you suggesting augmenting your advertising with placemaking, or just completely trade out?
Well, there are still good reasons to advertise. Primarily, when you have something new to say, when you have a new product, when you go into a new market, you got a new positioning, when you need to reach a lot of people. But otherwise, yes, we think that you should substitute out those dollars and put them into places where people can experience who you are, because it is demonstrably a much more effective use of marketing dollars.
And on that note, Joe, we are out of time, unfortunately. So
He's just engaging our listeners, and now we have to leave.
Well, that's probably a good thing. You ought to go buy the book then.
Consider this an experience for the book buying.
Exactly. It's it's Joe Pyne, co-author, Authenticity, What Consumers Really Want. If you don't have the book, go get it, okay? Joe, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks, Brad. I appreciate it.
On The Advertising Show, we will continue with more in just a moment.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
You know me. Would you believe I'm Bugs Bunny? I'm also the voice of many other cartoon characters. But in here, they don't care if I'm Elmer Fudd.
On The Advertising Show, Joe Pyne. What a great guy. Go get that book, okay? Again, it's called Authenticity. And I've lost the sheet that I had on Joe. Wait a minute. There it is. What Consumers Really Want. Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth here. Hey, stick around. We've got Gene Bliska on the way here in just a few moments. Net Promoter, are you familiar with that? Words to the wise when using Net Promoter, and she'll talk about that in just a moment. JetBlue is in the news again, Brad. Something very interesting here. JetBlue has a new slogan. It's called Happy Jetting, okay? Happy Jetting. Oh. And it'll be real interesting to see how they can possibly overcome the wonderful experience that is called flying these days. As tempers flare over airline delays, fare hikes, fewer free services, not to mention the security of the airports, JetBlue wants to put a more pleasant spin on air travel with its new marketing theme, Happy Jetting. Well, to me, it's going to take a little bit more than just a theme. The move runs to cover the carrier's rivals, which have been directing their focus internally to investigate merger opportunities, cut costs, deal with spiraling fuel prices, and generally avoid going out of business. Hey, but Andrea Spiegel, who is the VP of Marketing at JetBlue, said that while the airline is dealing with the same problems as the competitors, the need for optimism and a positive alternative in this negative category is more important than ever. Again, my question is, so you're going to say that, but how are you going to overcome it? I understand JetBlue is a great airline, don't get me wrong, but you still got to get past all of the other garbage at the airport, and who knows? Maybe they're onto something here. What do you think?
Well, I think that Joe Pyne would say it's inauthentic, and that happy jetting?
Happy jetting, right.
Yeah, happy jetting is like a phony term that people really won't believe, and so I don't know.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to prove it. They're going to have to prove that they can do this. Okay. So I don't know whether they can or not, but let's hope that maybe they can. Who knows?
It's interesting that you mentioned JetBlue. I caught a little bit of the Where in the World is Matt Lauer last week, and he mentioned
it was good, wasn't it?
That, well, a little bit. Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I catch it while I'm running around in the morning, so it's not like I'm sitting there watching it. But he mentioned during one of his segments that JetBlue was taking them from point A to point B, and I thought, huh, was that a plug? JetBlue isn't an international carrier. They're domestic, I thought. So I thought that was unusual. I thought that they're domestic. If they're international, then my apologies to JetBlue. Yeah. But I thought it was interesting that if they are a domestic carrier, and again, not 100% sure of that, why would they hook up with NBC to have Matt Lauer flown all over the world? I don't know. I
suppose you can charter a JetBlue if you want. That's an important thing, too. So who knows?
I suppose.
Net Promoter, words to the wise. It's Gene Bliss's feature today here on The Advertising Show. Let's listen.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
The reach of the Net Promoter concept and simplicity of one ultimate question is compelling. It gives CEOs something to easily grasp and point to regarding a customer target. Here's some words to the wise about how to move it forward in the right way. Don't make Net Promoter be just about the score. If you do, all you're doing is replacing that old customer satisfaction survey with your Net Promoter survey. And don't set arbitrary targets for how far you'll improve your Net Promoter score. Especially don't look across all industries of Net Promoter scores and set yours. There are clear differences by industry. Don't set yourself up with a goal that isn't connected with your operation or your customers. And finally, create the back-end action loop that the Net Promoter Concept success is based on. The whole idea behind this concept is to identify customers who love you, your promoters, and those who don't, your detractors, and to tickle out the issues causing both situations.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
As always, our friend Gene Bliss, thank you so much, Gene, for your contribution here at theadvertisingshow.com. It's always great material and good advice as well with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Glad you're listening today. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Joe Pyne. There's just a whole bunch of stuff here on theadvertisingshow.com website that is useful, that is, even though recorded possibly several years ago, very pertinent, very informative type stuff with a lot of the leading people in the advertising business. So we invite you to noodle around a little bit and check it out here at theadvertisingshow.com. What you got there?
Well, you know, and by the way, I looked up JetBlue during the break, and other than their connection with Aer Lingus through Europe, they do fly a little outside of the continental United States through Caribbean and Mexico, but they're not in Europe. So just to set the record straight, I want to mention.
So they maybe went with Aer Lingus or something. But
JetBlue got the plug. I don't know. This has been a sad day for us here at the Advertising Show, Ray. I know you know this, so I want to share this with the rest of our audience. For those that enjoy listening to the 77-year-old woman discuss sex, well, you'll soon have to do it on the internet. Oxygen said today, or not today, but earlier this week, it's ending its 6-year run, Ray, with Talk Sex with Sue Johansson.
That's a shame.
Final episode will be this Sunday, today, at midnight, and the series finale will cover the year's top 10 sex toys. and then she'll continue dispensing advice on oxygen.com. Man, I got to tell you, there's nothing hotter than getting sex advice from your grandmother, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe we should talk about that a little bit, Brad. So when did this begin to be a problem for you then?
Well, you know, it's a turn on, you know, those long skirts and those wrinkled faces. It just drives me nuts.
And if anybody has never seen Sue Johansson and the way she presents herself, what a great lady.
Yeah.
There'll be other opportunities out there for her as well.
Sure.
Or maybe she just wants to garden, you know? Because some of those sex toys you can actually probably use in the garden to till the soil or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, so, c'est la vie, Sue, right?
Yeah.
That's funny. Anyway. That is funny.
And, you know, Letterman used to have her on from time to time, which I knew once I saw her, someone would pick up on her. And she's a great personality. She's a good example of just somebody being themselves on television. And that's the best advice you could give anyone, I think.
Yeah. So, Sue, no longer. She'll be in reruns. You know that for sure.
Forever.
And you could probably pick up those things in your iTunes as well if you wanted to. By the way, thanks again, our special guest today, Joe Pyne, out of Minneapolis or Minnesota, I should say, co-author of Authenticity, What Consumers Really Want. It's really interesting to see how a company like his and a book like his is so pivotal to the success or failure of a campaign. And I can't tell you how many advertisers we see that they just don't get it.
Yeah.
They don't get that, looking inside their company is not where the answers are.
Right.
And I thought it was really interesting, too, based on that with the Harley-Davidson thing, how they went out on the roads and they found out exactly what their people were saying.
Yeah.
Good thing they didn't bump into the Hell's Angels or something like that, huh?
You know, consumer engagement is such a hot topic right now, and this just elaborates and amplifies consumer engagement in a totally different way. So again, Authenticity, Joe Pyne, as also his co-author, James Gilmore, highly recommend it. Check it out.
That's a good deal. And here at the Advertising Show, being powered by Shipple.com, Shipple has an incredible marketing platform called Tendency. You want to get the word on the web, check out Shipple. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. And we have once again to say thanks to our brand new sponsors here on the Advertising Show. Captivate Network, you can visit them at captivate.com, and we hope you'll do that. Tell them all about the fact you were listening on the Advertising Show as well. Being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine, visit online at adage.com with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.